All right. It is Tuesday, September 30th. Welcome on back to Damon Bruce Plus, as always brought to you by Ike Sandwiches. Thank you so much for being here. It's great to have you. And it is a very quick turnaround for the 49ers. We're talking 48 hours until their next game Thursday night, and it's their biggest game so far this season. The LA Rams are no joke, and they are a 3-1 football team. Wait, let me go ahead and show you what a pro I am by muting that phone right there. It's a big one. It's an absolutely huge game, and right now we got Ricky Pearsall with a knee and Juwan Jennings with his ribs. Their statuses are both up in the air for Thursday night, and so is Brock Purdy's. Breaking some news just a little while ago, Brock is questionable for Thursday. His toe was re-aggravated in the loss to the Jaguars. Now, there was an awful lot of reasons, two of them basically, two big ones, where maybe you don't ask Brock to play on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it really seems like, you know, all that could come home to roost to screw the 49ers might be coming home to roost in that decision. You know, I thought it was pretty obvious. Like, don't play Brock on Sunday. If you don't play Brock on Sunday, that means you get to keep Mac Jones out there, and he's got a pretty good thing going. Not that he's about to usurp or replace Brock Purdy, but in the meantime, you might not change things that are working with a short turnaround, an easy to re-aggravate injury, which apparently is now re-aggravated. You know, 2 to 6 weeks doesn't mean Brock should be back out there practicing again as quickly as humanly possible. But as I told you, I think that Brock felt Mac Jones a little bit in his rearview mirror. And this is why he is, you know, he rushed back. We were told all week by our friend Larry, who was down there watching practice, like, Brock is just off. He's throwing high. He's throwing low. It doesn't look right. Well, all of that materialized on Sunday when he didn't look right, turned the ball over three times, two interceptions, was overthrowing guys, not overthrowing by distance, by overthrowing by height all game long. So, you know, what we feared might go wrong on Sunday apparently has gone wrong, and Brock is questionable for Thursday night football. That's not great. You know, instead of asking Mac to start at home against his hometown team, the guy grew up in Jacksonville, so looking for a little extra motivation against a former team, it's your hometown team, I think it just would have been right asking Mac Jones to go down to L.A. and get the start on Thursday night football. Doesn't feel as right to asking him to just do it and buying more time to rest for Brock Purdy. So I think that the calculus that the 49ers deployed last Sunday was just wrong. I think they got it all wrong. I think they got it wrong leading up to the game. I think they got it wrong in the game. And post-game, they are now dealing with the consequences. Not great. Not great. There's no doubt about that. But let me tell you, when you need some greatness, I can offer you some. How about a great sandwich? Everyone likes a great sandwich. Your mood can be all messed up. You have a great sandwich, your mood rises. That's the power of a great sandwich. And when you're talking about great sandwiches, we're talking about my man Ike's, the greatest sandwich shop in America. Hopefully there is one opening near you soon. If there is not, I'm so sorry about that. Hopefully one's coming, because it is absolutely delicious at Ike's. Everything he serves is just fantastic. If you're at one of the locations that he has that offers burgers, check out an Ike's burger. Consider Ike's for dinner, not just lunch. They're so good. They're so significant. And we're going to have some Ike's hopefully delivered to the Dubliner West Portal on Saturday. And I want to formally invite you and yours to the Dubliner West Portal on Saturday here in San Francisco. If you can make it, if you're in the Bay Area, if you can join us, we would love to see you. We're getting together starting at 4:20. Wink. 4:20. Everyone can remember that starting time. Dubliner West Portal. I'm telling you, if you're in the city, hop on Muni to get there. You're not going to have to worry about parking. You're not going to have to worry about driving. You can just have a really, really good time at the Dubliner West Portal. Join us, please. And join the movement over at Sleeper. An awful lot of fun to be had on America's fastest growing fantasy site out there. Sleeper has outstanding value for you and a great user interface. You make your own parlays, by picking over or under on player props. You build your own ticket. You let it ride. You have an awful lot of fun over on Sleeper. And to have fun on Sleeper, make sure you sign up on the link that is in the description of this video. Use promo code Damon and you'll get a $100 deposit match on your first deposit up to $100. So good luck and happy trails over on Sleeper. It's an awful lot of fun around football. I can't wait for basketball to start and see what the Sleeper app has for us come basketball season. And of course, we got playoff baseball happening in America today. And as a matter of fact, right now. So we got an awful lot to offer over on Sleeper. Go ahead and check it out. You'll be happy that you did. Very, very cool user interface. I can promise you that. And again, thank you all for being here. Please hit like and subscribe. You know, I was watching a little Cowherd this morning. I had Cowherd on and he, you know, cooked up one of his hand selected. Let me tell you why Brock Purdy's not the guy, you know, segments that he is so famous for. Now, look, you know, I can, if every career in front of me, if every career in front of me is a buffet table and it's up to me to go through the buffet and hand select the meal I want to serve, any quarterback has ever played by hand selecting the right stats or the wrong stats in that case, I can prove to you they weren't very good at it. I could certainly make a case based on statistics. They're just not very good at it. I could have made an argument based on statistics that Joe Montana wasn't very good at it. Now, you could say, well, you're ignoring an awful lot of statistics to prove that he is. And yeah, that's what's going on in sports media. I'm going to craft an argument, hand selecting data points, totally ignoring other data points. And I'm going to, through the guise of a very narrow view of a player, try to present you the big, wide, broad view on who this player really is. And that's what Cowherd was doing this morning. He had a stat up that says, you know, Brock's numbers are going in a concerning direction. There's a concerning trend when it comes to Brock Purdy. And he said, you know, in his last 11 starts, and this is all true, you know, it's not like this is false information, but it's hand-selected information. In his last 11 starts, the 49ers are 4-7. This totally glosses over that the 49ers have hardly even been the San Francisco 49ers over their last 11 games with the problems and the injuries that they've been dealing with. So handing out official final grades for anybody here when it's pretty hard to study for the test because all the tutors are absent, it's a little nuts. It's a little nuts, but this is what Colin presented. He said, so in the last 11 starts for Brock Purdy, the team is 4-7. He's got fewer passing yards than Carolina's Bryce Young. He's thrown for fewer touchdowns and more interceptions than Russell Wilson. He's got a worse passer rating than Geno Smith. All of that since week 7 of last season. Okay, you know, not good. When you look at that, when you compare him to other, you know, struggling quarterbacks, it doesn't sound very good, but I'm going to tell you that part of the reason why it doesn't sound very good is because over the last 11 games and since about week 7 of last year when Brandon Ayuk went down, the 49ers weren't the 49ers, not even close to what you can expect from them. So to hand select and scoop from the absolute low point coming off of 2023 to try to build a case about who a player is, I think that that's a disingenuous act. It's a disingenuous argument. You know, what about when things are going right for Brock Purdy? What about when things are going right for Brock Purdy? Can I hand select some stats from that to explain who we might be? Because when things are going right for Brock Purdy, his 112.6 passer rating in his first 25 career starts was the highest by any NFL quarterback ever since the merger. So again, he gave you a starting point where there was literally nowhere to go but down. So now he's gone down a little. While the team has gone down a little around him, he led all quarterbacks with a 113 passer rating in his 2023 season. So when everything was going right, Brock was statistically provably the most efficient quarterback in professional football when things were going right. In his five career games with a passer rating, his five career games of the passer rating are 140 or higher in his first two seasons, were the most by any NFL quarterback ever. So again, the peak of him is better than anybody's early peak in their careers. You know, that is only something that can be used against you when they're trying to talk about the descent and who you used to be and who you aren't anymore, as if he has played his entire career and is now on the downslope of who he might be, and it's just nothing but a bad ending. The man's still very, very young. His playoff record, because that's what it's all about. And the whole point here is Brock isn't good when it matters most. Incorrect. He's 4-2 in six playoff games. He's 4-2. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. He's appeared in 42 regular season football games for the San Francisco 49ers. Over those 42 games, so again, we're going to zoom out from just my hand-selected. Let me make an argument that he is very good. We're going to try to see through the Colin Cowherd hand-selected argument. He's not very good. Let me wrap up with this, because this isn't a hand selection. This is a career evaluation based on a statistic of his career passer rating through his career. So this includes the 11 games which Cowherd is using to crap on Brock Purdy. In Brock Purdy's 42-game career, his passer rating is 103.7. which would be the highest of all quarterbacks in NFL history if he had enough passing attempts to qualify for the all-time career passer rating list. He's still about 400 passes away from qualifying for that. So again, if you want to zoom in to when things are going wrong and find the worst of Brock, guess what? You'll find it. But if you want to zoom out again, what you're going to find is the most efficient start to any career any quarterback has ever had in the history of football, which should be good enough for most. But for some, it simply isn't. Okay, you know, I understand. It's a tough crowd. It's a tough crowd. But here's a little, again, what can I really offer you besides information, entertainment, a well-turned phrase? I can offer you perspective. That's what I'm here to offer. I think that younger broadcasters have a harder time offering perspective because they haven't been through nearly as much as I have. They haven't covered as many seasons as I have. They haven't seen enough bad football to recognize it beyond the vacuum of a bad game. This is a bad direction for an entire franchise. I think perspective is one of the things that my experience allows me to give you. And here's some perspective that as the sky is falling around the 49ers, and look, I'm not here to tell you that the sky isn't a little lower than it used to be, but the sky is falling crowd, I think, needs to hear this. You've got Baltimore, you've got the Los Angeles Chargers, and you've got the Minnesota Vikings right now, all dealing with injuries in a way that, you know, I'm sure some people around them are saying, well, does this team even bother stretching? You know, so the injury bug that seems like it feasts solely on just on the 49ers is actually having a bigger meal this year. We're seeing devastating injuries everywhere. So it's not just the problem of the 49ers. It's the sport of football that offers that up. Just feels like it's been a little unfair to the 49ers lately, but and they have lost the most games to injury of any team in football last year. But there are some other teams in football right now having a contest with who's more, you know, with the Niners about who's more injured. How many teams do you think there are in the NFC with winning records right now? Don't look. How many teams do you think there are with winning records? There are only seven teams with winning records in the NFC right now. There are only five teams in the AFC with winning records right now. That's only 12 teams in football with a winning record. Congratulations. The 49ers are one of them. And if you want to argue, hey, maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe this is a false positive 3-1. I'm not even going to argue with that. They probably shouldn't even be 3-1. They have not played very well in any particular game, but they are. The what if conversation that so many people want to have ends when you get to the record, because it's what if Brock is hurt? What if Nick Bosa can't play anymore? What is this team going to look like as it goes through the year? What if Jennings is hurt? What if Pearsall is hurt? What if Ayuk doesn't come back? What if Kittle's not back? What if McCaffrey? All these what ifs are very interesting and real, and we can talk about all of them. But when you get to the record, the conversation about what's happening ends quickly. No matter what your opinion, no matter what your worry, the Niners are 3-1. Whether you like it or not, whether you endorse it or not, whether you sign off on it or not, it doesn't matter what you think about 3-1, they are. They go to 4-1 with a win against the Rams on Thursday night. You can reset the good feelings machine. All of a sudden, people are going to feel really a lot, you know, a lot better about the Niners. Now, if they lose Thursday night, that sky that I said is falling for some, it's going to come down a little bit lower. And this will be the first bad loss of the year. Again, the Jacksonville loss, if you had to dial up a loss, I would have said, go ahead, lose that Jacksonville game. It doesn't really matter when the washing is done. A game against the Rams matters when the washing is done. You only get two of them. You got to, at worst, split them. You went on the road, you got to like your chances to maybe come back and beat them at home. Let's see what Thursday night looks like. But the fork in the 49er fan base anxiety road is going to, I mean, we're going in one or two directions based off of Thursday night's results. We will start bending back towards calm down everybody, or it's going to be, you know, a panic attack that goes on for an entire weekend. As bad as it's been, it ain't that bad. That's what I'm officially here to tell you about the 49ers. As bad as it's been, it ain't that bad to be 3-1. And as a matter of fact, you should actually be almost grateful for it. I know no one wants to be grateful for that, but it's true. It's true. Damon, you're making excuses. Damon, you're making excuses. No, no, I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you, we are way too early in a football season that looks wide open, by the way. Wide open. The NFC is wide open. So don't tell me that a Nick Bosa-less 49er team couldn't possibly walk through a wide open playoffs. Who knows what the rest of these teams look like when that happens 2 months from now? There is an awful lot of football between here and the end of the road. And if you're saying the end of the road is the only step that matters in this entire journey, well, then don't complain about the journey, because you don't know where it's going. Oh, but I think I know where it's going. Well, guess what? Sports has people who think they know what they're talking about wrong all the time. There's an entire city in the state of Nevada that is built upon how wrong people are about what they think of sports. You know? If everyone's instincts brought them to the correct assessment of all teams, they would have shut down Nevada 3 days after it existed. The payout would have been too brutal to exist. Calm down. It's early. Calm down. You're 3-1. You could be 4-1 with a win on Thursday. Now, do I like the Niners' chances going to LA and winning that game? Not particularly. Not. I mean, it's not a great chance to win the game. But I'll tell you this, you know, Kyle Shanahan usually has something for Sean McVay. He does. I think Kyle gets up for this game. I think Sal is going to be up for this game. I think the team's going to be really up for this game. It seemed like the team had a little bit of a malaise about them in that Jacksonville game. Maybe that was a little Nick Bosa ain't here no more hangover. I don't know. But put that all behind you. Put a little pressure on Stafford. I freaking dare you. And let's see what the 49ers look like two nights from now. We will be live, what, 5:15? I think we'll go on 5:15, about 5:30 kick. So we will be having our live stream watch party. I guess I should actually build that studio and get it up and waiting for you here on YouTube. That'll be coming soon. So like and subscribe if you would please. Hit that notify button if you want to make sure you don't miss anything we do over here on the Palouse. And thank you so very, very much for supporting me here. And appreciate you being here today. Appreciate the supers. Appreciate the love. Thank you very, very much. Brock questionable for Thursday. Oh, great. Super duper. Super duper. By the way, I think that I also need to let you know about this as you start making your weekend plans. We got Fleet Week coming to San Francisco next weekend. Well, next weekend, the 49ers have been flexed into the national window. This kind of screws up a lot of people's Bay Area weekend. I mean, I know that the NFL isn't considering, hey, it's Fleet Week back in San Francisco. But they took what was supposed to be a game at Tampa, which was originally in that 10 a.m. West Coast time slot, and they've moved it to the 1:25 national window. So the 49ers have been flexed into next Sunday's national afternoon window game. Ian Rappaport tweeted that the 49ers' Week 6 matchup against Tampa Bay has been flexed by CBS. The game's going to replace the Patriots-Saints game. You're welcome, America. The other game during that time slot is Bengals-Packers. So those could both be total dog games. 49ers-Tampa, that's a good game. That's a big game in the NFC this year. So the national window for the 49ers versus Baker Mayfield in Week 6, which is going to put that 49er game right in the middle of the Blue Angels and the Air Show and Fleet Week. And that kind of sucks. But okay. What are you going to do? By the way, that Week 6 game is the first game that Kittle is eligible to come off of the injured list. It's also the date that has been circled for Malik Mustafa's return to the 49ers. Now, none of that is in concrete or guaranteed, but let's see what happens when this team gets to Week 6. Week 5 is Thursday night at SoFi Stadium, and hopefully you will be here. Let's see. We got SGA Sports Talk, who's been a member now for a year to the day. Thank you very much, SGA, for supporting the channel with a membership. He says, hi, Damon, big fan of your channel. Absolutely rock. Let's go 49ers. Beat the Rams by a final score of 65-20. hey, I'll take 25-20. 65-20, that's aggressive. What do you think you are, Indiana playing Illinois? I like the enthusiasm. I really do. Thank you very, very much for the enthusiasm. Again, I know that the 49ers are feeling like their backs have been painted against the wall due to early season injuries here, and you're having a year robbed of you almost as it begins. Again, you're 3-1. You know who would kill to be 3-1 right now? The Baltimore Ravens. I mean, this was a year that was going to be Lamar finally getting over the hump, the Ravens back in the Super Bowl. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. They got rid of their bugaboos. Here they are. It's the Ravens' year, right? Well, no. 1-3 for just the second time in the John Harbaugh era. Lamar Jackson's status is up in the air for this Sunday against the Houston Texans, and they got a good enough defense to where you're going to want Lamar out there. Their defensive tackle, who's a stud, Matabuke, done for the year with an injury. Roquan Smith, their all-world linebacker, their tackling machine, is set to miss multiple weeks with an injury. You got cornerback Marlon Humphrey, who has been getting cooked, by the way, so maybe him being out isn't exactly being seen as a bad thing, but he's going to be out a few weeks. The Ravens are a mess. Talk about the Niners being a mess. The Niners looking bad. The Niners having all these issues. You're still 3-1. The Ravens would kill to be 3-1. They're 1-3. I mean, we're at the quarter pole here. We're at the quarter pole of this NFL season. Well, now there's, you know, there's 17 games. You're not technically at the quarter bowl, but this was, you know, 16-game schedule meant you split the whole year up into four quadrants. Okay, well, we're at the quarter pole, kinda. Let's see where we are. According to Las Vegas, let's see where we are in terms of who's supposed to do what around here, because the odds have already changed. Right now, Josh Allen, who's off to a great start this year, is a scratch favorite to be named MVP. Justin Herbert, by the way, just moved past Lamar Jackson for second in MVP odds. Patrick Mahomes was down at 25-1. Guess what? He's now at 8-1. He also passed Lamar in terms of who might be your MVP this year. 17 players have officially come off the board when it comes to MVP consideration. So things change fast in the NFL. Your defensive player of the year, which was just Micah Parsons a minute ago. Parsons is now second. Adrian Hutchinson is the new, supposed to be, defensive player of the year. Well, we'll see if Aiden Hutchinson actually lives up to that. Okay. Fred Warner has gone from 75-1 to 28-1. So Fred's profile continues to rise in the defensive player of the year conversation through four games. And again, 20 players who were on the board last week are no longer even on the board. The last thing I want to talk about here, and this is really going to rub some of you the wrong way, because you don't think he's done a good job. You think he's uncreative. You're happy, unhappy with who he is and where he is. And I get it in some cases. But given the poo-poo platter of injuries and problems that the 49ers have faced, I'll tell you, if the 49ers beat the Rams on Thursday night, Kyle Shanahan's name is going to be on this list. This is Coach of the Year. And right now, Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, with their incredible start, remains the favorite. Jim Harbaugh has descended. He's gone from second to fifth. Sirianni from 33-1 to 12-1. Brian Daboll from 100-1 to 33-1. Come on. Jonathan Gannon fell from 16-1 to 40-1. With the Arizona Cardinals. Brian Callahan from 75-1 to 250-1. You know, it feels like either he or Mike McDaniel is going to be the first guy fired this year. Callahan is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. If the 49ers are 4-1 after a win on Thursday, Kyle Shanahan's name better be put on this damn list. He will have deserved it. Kyle's got injured players everywhere. He's had a rotating door at quarterback. He lost his best defensive player for the year already. His offensive line kind of stinks, and you could say, well, hey, all of that is on him. Yeah, he has created his own problems. There's certainly been, you know, he isn't just an observer to his own team problems. He's the GM. He makes these decisions. But he's also the coach, and the coach who is 4-1 with this average of a team, with this many injuries, I think you should get some Coach of the Year consideration, and I think that Kyle's name appears on this list if the 49ers beat the Rams on Thursday next week. I really do. We play the Rams Thursday this week, but Kyle's name would then appear on it next week. Again, just to let you know how quickly it all changes in football, how quickly it can all be taken away from you. Last night, you had the double Monday night football game, Miami wearing those black unis. And I got to tell you, for them to integrate the black into the orange and the aquamarine of theirs, it looked all right. It looked okay. But what's not all right and what's not okay is Tyreek Hill, and his career is forever altered. There's just no way to pretend that it isn't. Look, his career might be over. I don't know. But last night, Tyreek Hill dislocated his left knee. He was hospitalized overnight. He tore multiple ligaments in his knee. He dislocated his knee. And based on what makes Tyreek Hill tick, being the cheetah, being fast, being able to cut on a dime, being the best open field runner this game has seen in a long time, Tyreek Hill with the ball in the open field is basically uncatchable, unstoppable. Well, I don't know if he's going to be that guy anymore. He turns 32 in March, devastating knee injury, close to the end of his career. I don't know. I don't know about Tyreek Hill. This guy was, you know, I'm not saying that he's a future Hall of Famer or anything like that, but he was a first team All-Pro 5 times. And there was no denying him. No denying him. You know, you could say, well, hey, man, Tyreek Hill left the Chiefs and the Chiefs, you know, won Super Bowls without him. Yeah, but Tyreek Hill was putting up extraordinary numbers when that was happening in his new location in Miami, in spite of the fact Miami has Tua and, you know, Mike McDaniel, and that's not exactly clicking right now. And he wasn't happy with them, and he was pointing fingers last year. He was criticizing. I don't know what's – look, I'm going to tell you right now. Tyreek Hill, questionable dude, exceptional player, devastating injury. What remains of his career will be an interesting thing to monitor. I don't know how much more will be left from Tyreek Hill. That's just, you know, it's a bad injury, man. You know, at least when that happened to Brandon Ayuk, Ayuk was still kind of young. Not that Ayuk is some spring chicken. Yeah, Corporal Tez is saying, hey, man, if Hill's career is over, it won't be. If his career is not over, it'll never be the same. Yeah, that's it's a career altering trajectory level injury. There's no doubt. Prayers for Tyreek Hill. Matthew, there's some guys I'm comfortable praying for. Other guys don't deserve it. I'm not. It's unfortunate. I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt. I'm going to save my prayers for a better person than Tyreek Hill. I'll give you that much. Irwin, hey, he's always looking for that silver lining. He's like, I'm lucky to have Jalen Waddle. Yeah, Jalen Waddle's targets just went up. No doubt about that. Habes, I like the black unis. I kind of did too. I kind of like Miami's black unis there a little bit. I did. Chef A saying, Damon, I still think our offensive line isn't good enough. I don't think it really is. I don't think the 49ers offensive line is good enough in the run game to give you the running game that this whole offense used to be built around. So it's time to adjust. And it's time to, I'm not saying it's time to abandon the run, but it's time to abandon the run being in the center of how you're winning this football game. I think that that's a strategical pivot that Kyle and his offense needs to make. Yeah, Corporal Tez. He's a multimillionaire. He'll be fine. Yeah, I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to be hungry. Not a single day the rest of his life. So today's thumbnail is all about the quick turnaround to Thursday night that the 49ers have to go to. I got to tell you, we are quickly turning around to a couple of other things in sports happening here. I went to Warriors Media Day. I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a second. I've got one more football thing for you, though, before we do our quick turnaround to a couple of other topics that we have to put on today's live stream. First of all, let me share the screen with you here, because the most impressive thing on a football field this past weekend is what I'm about to show you. Here we go. This is Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions, and he is giving this interview in fluent German. Who knew?
Ich glaube, wir könnten besser spielen als in Offense. Wir hatten ein paar Drives, wo wir gestalled out haben. Ja, paar Third Downs, wo ich dachte, wir das kriegen könnten, aber ich meine, 34 Punkte ist schon gut. Defense hat ganz stark gespielt, aber ja, ich meine, guten Win gegen guten Defense.
I'm always impressed by another language because I have no ability myself to speak another language. It's why I am encouraging both of my children early in their lives to learn another language, kind of ingrain it in them early. I'm blown away by that. I love foreign announcer play-by-play calls. Whenever anyone can just pivot and speak fluently in another language, I am always impressed by that. Very impressive, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Very impressive. Professional athlete, raised by a bodybuilder, speaks another language, Mr. St. Brown, you did a hell of a job raising your kids. Seriously. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. His mom is full-blooded Deutschland. She's a Valkyrie. She's Broomhilda. So he spoke German at home. Very impressive. I mean, I don't care if you speak it at home or not. You speak a second language fluently? I'm impressed every single time. Every single time. Like, honestly, I don't know. What is harder? Playing, reaching the NFL, or learning a second language when you're already an adult? That's really hard. You got to start early if you really want to pick that up. But I saw that. Somebody sent me that video, and I was like, jawohl, mein Herr. Look at that. Red Jet excited because I said Valkyrie. So I'm walking around Warriors Media Day. I'm looking for the men's room, and I'm walking down the hallway, and it's not there anymore because that set of bathrooms has become the Valkyrie's locker room. So there's my WNBA experience. I had to go find another restroom yesterday at Warriors Media Day. Let me tell you a little bit about Warriors Media Day, because it was weird. It was unlike any other Warriors Media Day I have ever attended. If the volume of people at your media day, if the number of national NBA voices attending your media day have any correlation to success that a team is about to have, the Warriors are about to have a rough year. Not the Warriors media day wasn't just poorly attended by media. It was poorly attended by the Golden State Warriors. They don't have, because of the Kuminga situation, all of their guys lined up to even present to the media. Like, I talked to Patrick Spencer yesterday because he was one of the few guys who was out there talking to the media. I didn't even see Steve Kerr. I didn't even see, I saw Jimmy Butler, I saw Draymond Green, and I saw Steph Curry. Had a really nice interaction with Steph. He was like, man, I haven't seen you around in a while. I'm like, well, it's been a weird couple of years, Steph. It really has been. But thank you. I'm here today. And had a nice conversation with Pat Spencer. I didn't see my guy, Trace Jackson Davis. I didn't see TJD there. I'm guessing they were either got there earlier before I got there or, you know, appeared after I left. But it was no Joe Lacob, no Kirk Lacob, no Dunleavy that I saw anyways. It was really, really weird. The CSN Bay Area budget, it doesn't exist anymore. Like, they were filming, you know, all the promos where you can see, like, you know, Bonte and the guys he does the studio shows with, or Bob and Kalena, when he do, they did, you know, they still have their tent that they went into and cut all of those promos and all of the rejoins that you see during commercial break. And, you know, like Bonte messing around with Draymond, like, oh, Draymond, you got to download that Warriors app if you want the best Warriors news. Okay, Bonte, you know, like all of that stuff. They're still filming all of that. But last year they like built a model Bay Bridge to film some stuff in. There were multiple studios. They're bringing in these huge, futuristic robotic cameras to do these sexy wraparound jobs. I didn't see any of that. The amount of money that has been spent by the teams covering the Warriors on the networks, 95.7 The Game wasn't even there yesterday. They had Whitley walking around doing some, you know, interviews, but the station didn't even bother sending a show, a remote engineer. That's how tight budgets are. The Warriors flagship station wasn't even at Media Day. I don't think Steve Kerr was at Media Day. Again, most of the Warriors weren't at Media Day. You know, do we want to meet Al Horford, DeAndre Melton? What do you think about being back? Can't talk to them yet because Kuminga's holding up all that business. It was weird. And every single question was basically like, so, what about Kuminga? You know, and Draymond, I still gotta cut up the video and put it up on YouTube. Draymond actually gave a really good answer. Because Draymond will talk about anything. Draymond will talk about another man. They'll talk about what's in another man's pocket. Draymond doesn't give a shit. He's just going to be honest. And Draymond basically said, what you're looking at is a negotiation. And negotiations are always contentious. And at the end of this negotiation, a hand gets shook. And then it's business as usual again. Like, the Warriors really think that they're going to get a deal done here and Kuminga's going to come back in and the attitude's going to be great and he's going to be all hands on deck and it's going to be super duper ooper, everybody kumbaya. I hope they're right. I hope Draymond's right about that. The Warriors certainly hope Draymond's right about that. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but this has been acrimonious. This has been contentious. And Draymond basically said, that's the price of tea in China. You know, Draymond says there's a lot of people who cover this league 24/7 and they get an inkling about something and they put it out as news and then that never materializes. Draymond even said a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I thought I was out of here. A couple of years ago, I thought the Warriors were going to trade me. I thought they weren't going to pick up my deal. And it was all but guaranteed. I was all but gone. And look at me. Here I am. So anything can happen. When you think you are sure about the way a player, a relationship, a contract, a negotiation is going to play out, you're not sure. And I tell you, I think that Draymond's correct about all of that. Everything that is Warriors and Kuminga seems to exist in a world of shit right now. But strike a deal, kumbaya this bad boy, start playing basketball together, and teams feel good about playing basketball together again as soon as basketball becomes that's the thing. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And once the game of basketball becomes the main thing again, guys start feeling more like themselves again. They lower their defensive postures. Let's see what happens here. All I know is it's been an unforgivable headache that has been pretty much everyone. Both parties are guilty of doing it the most painful way possible. They really are. Smiley Dan, who always likes to keep everybody safe. Smiley Dan says, Draymond's answer was superb. It made me feel better, and I think we might be fine, like he said. Here's the thing. I can't wait for the Warriors' problems to pivot from, what about Jonathan Kuminga, to, hey, all these guys are old. Which is another reason why the Kuminga situation is very odd, because you think you'd want to keep the talented young guy around, but they keep on saying he's not a fit, but he is. There are a whole bunch of Warriors minutes that have absolutely nothing to do with not fitting well next to Steph Curry, because Curry's not going to be out on the floor. You could put Jonathan Kuminga just totally in charge of the second unit. All right, we're going to build the whole second unit around you. There's got to be a solution that just comes back to, all right, you know what? Here's the deal, man. Just fucking rebound and play some defense and we're going to be good again. The sips of the day have just been spectacular. The coffee is good. Hopefully the show's been good. Hopefully the live stream has met your expectations. And if it has, can I ask you to hit like and subscribe? Can I ask you to go ahead and think about becoming a member? We got some merch for you out there, but hitting like and subscribe is the single easiest, fastest, and free to you way to support the channel. And I thank you very much for when you're doing it. I did see Bonte yesterday. Good to bump into Bonte. Good to see Bob Fitzgerald and Kalena. Had a great conversation with Kalena, not about basketball or his off season. I said, well, so, you know, what have you been doing this summer? And he said his wife and he and his wife saw the Backstreet Boys at Sphere. And I said, so my wife and I were at Sphere too for Phish. He's like, what's Phish? I'm like, that's fine. I'll explain real quickly. He sort of knew. He pretended to know. But yeah, Kalena didn't know what fish was. Anyway, neither did my wife until she met me. So I'm never surprised by that. Anyway, I'm like, isn't the Sphere awesome? He's like, dude, it is awesome. It really is. It really is. He's like, the Backstreet Boys were incredible. He's like, I don't even like them. And they were really good. So Kalena went to Sphere this offseason. That was nice. It was awesome to see Nick Friedell. I didn't want to run into Nick and be like, Nick, how soon can you join me on YouTube? But I'm sure Nick will be joining us over here. But it was great to see Uncle Nick. Uncle Nick is back in the Bay Area. He's got his apartment. He's been back for like 3 days. He's going to be covering the Warriors for The Athletic. Anthony Slater is now covering the Warriors for ESPN. And our friend Nick Friedell is now covering the Warriors for The Athletic. And our buddy who is in The Athletic, Marcus Thompson, I read some news about him this morning. I'm so happy for Marcus Thompson. Listen to this. Front Office Sports is reporting that Marcus Thompson, our very own Marcus Thompson, who, you know, for years wrote for the Bay Area News Group, is now part of The Athletic, and I think is just one of the single best writers out there. If we had to talk about who the real wordsmiths are in our media market, I don't know if anybody is a better straight up just writer than Marcus Thompson. Marcus Thompson is joining Amazon's NBA team. I think he's still staying with The Athletic as well, but he's going to do feature reporting for Amazon's NBA coverage. That's a great step up. A great step up for Marcus Thompson. I'm so happy for him. That's going to bring more people to his brand. It's going to put what he does in front of more eyeballs. Marcus is good enough to be national anything. We've been enjoying him locally here for a long time. I'm really happy to see that in a world of, you know, hard to defend and unreasonable media hires everywhere, to see a good one like that. I'm going to tell you right now, Marcus Thompson will make Amazon's NBA coverage better. Period. Right hire. Great guy. Great writer. Great at getting to the heart of the story. This is why his profile pieces have always been so good. Just awesome. $50 million a year. I hope so. I hope Marcus is getting $50 million a year in Amazon stock. I hope so. I love his insights. I do too. And yes, Marcus is just good people. It's great to see him yesterday. He was on the phone when I walked past him, but we dapped each other up a little bit. Good to see Marcus. There you go. Red Jet. I know his sister. I didn't even know he had a sister. I'm learning something about Marcus. You're right. Nick Friedell. Great pipe, Sam Bruno, Mike. He's got that deep Bochy voice. Nick's got a great laugh, too. I always like a guest with a great laugh. He makes the host sound funnier than he really is. All righty here. Before we move on to baseball's wild card round and a big, big American gold medal in Paris that has nothing to do with Steph and Night Night, we'll get to a huge, rousing American accomplishment in Paris in just a second. Let me make sure that you accomplish all of your lunch goals here today. Do you have lunch goals? I hope you have lunch goals. Your lunch goal should be, I want it delicious. I want it to be fulfilling. I want it to be in my hand as fast as possible. Well, for that, you got to go to Ike's. But hopefully, what you need to do is just open up a delivery app, or actually sign up for Ike's Love Rewards program and order through that for one of the great sandwiches in the world right now. Ike's Love Rewards program. You get a free sandwich when you sign up. You get chips, drinks, chance to win prizes with every single purchase, and you are going to be in the cool club. I mean, that's it. Ike's sandwiches. Delicious. Not just for lunch, boys and girls. That can be dinner, too. Delicious, delicious. And if you've never had an Ike sandwich and you plan on joining us at the Dubliner, chances are you're going to be able to try one. I'm going to get a whole bunch delivered to Plusmania on Saturday, 4:20 this coming up Saturday at the Dubliner West Portal. I hope you can join us. I hope you can join us there. We're going to have a really good time. You can bring your own vinyl. You can bring your own vinyl. My man Jude is bringing a coffin. He's going to be spinning records. No CDs. Don't give me your MP3s. No digital nothing, baby. We're going vinyl. Bring your own vinyl. And if it's good, we'll play it. If it's not, we'll just make fun of you and then hand you an Ike sandwich and say, drink up Kenny's pouring Guinness. So I hope you plan on being here for all of that. And one more time, our friends at Sleeper. If you haven't signed up for a Sleeper account, make sure you do so before the 49ers kick off on Thursday night. We are going to be making another Sleeper play, and we'll be announcing what the play is before the game kicks off on Thursday when we start our live in-game watch party stream. We always start with my Sleeper picks. You can make your Sleeper picks. Go ahead, download the app, use the link in the description of the video that you're watching right now, and use promo code Damon to get $100 off your first deposit, up to $100 when you sign up for Sleeper. It is America's fastest growing fantasy app. The parlays that you can make for yourself are fantastic. It's a great user interface. Thanks again to Sleeper for sponsoring what we're doing over here on Damon Bruce Plus. We got playoff baseball. Yay. I mean, you got to love a little playoff baseball being on in the background, right? I mean, there's nothing better than that. Yeah, there's nothing better. We got a 1-1 game, top of the seventh, Detroit and Cleveland. Cleveland crashing the party late. They were left for dead earlier this summer. They overcome incredible odds to make it in. Runners on the corners, one out, top of the seventh, Tigers, Guardians. I almost said Indians. But that is going on right now, getting underway in about 10 minutes from right now. The game that I'm interested in, we got Padres and Cubs from Wrigley Field. A little bit later on today, would you like a little Red Sox-Yankees for your wild card opener? You get that later today, 3 o'clock West Coast time, ESPN. Reds and Dodgers also happening later on tonight, 6 o'clock. So baseball all day long. Playoff baseball, sure. Sign me up. I'll be happy to enjoy some playoff baseball. Hopefully you will be too. But when it comes to what matters most in competition, America's already checked that box this week. Here's my favorite story so far of the week. Another American has won in Paris, and I hope she hit all of them with the nuit nuit when she became one of the greatest cheesemongers of all time. Stay with me. I'll explain. Little background. In 1976, a British wine cellar named Stephen Spurrier, no, not Steve Spurrier, Florida Gators, another Brit winemaker named Stephen Spurrier, he organized a panel of 9 judges all hailing from France, and he called it the Judgment of Paris. And what he did was take wines from all over Europe and ask them to rate the best wine. Now, for giggles, Stephen Spurrier, in front of these experts, who were all blind tasting. So you didn't know what anything was. The glass of wine was put in front of you. You taste it. You don't know anything about it. And you rate, what was the best wine here today? Well, at that moment, at the Judgment of Paris in 1976, America pulled off a stunning upset and scored the highest scoring bottle in both the red and the white categories. You know, so I get, you know, the world of wine has gotten more than just male and female. It's more than just your genders, red and white. But that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, you got a little rosé, you got a few blends, but basically it's a world of red or white. And the unthinkable happened in 1976 when American wines from Napa Valley won that blind taste test. That was an over-the-moon moment for Napa Valley. That was an over-the-moon moment for the universe of wine. Better wine. Parisians were saying this glass of wine is better than this glass of wine. This glass of wine was from Napa. This glass of wine was from Burgundy. The French did the unthinkable. But hey, when the sommeliers all tried it, it was Napa, and that put Napa on the map. So America pulled off a huge upset. It was a massive breakthrough moment on the topic of wine. So I tell you all of that to tell you this, because France and its superiority complex when it comes to wine, bread, cheese, and look, the food over in Paris is incredible. It really is. It's truly amazing. A fresh baguette and some cheese spread out on just a picnic blanket is one of the best lunches you're ever going to have. They're very snotty about their cheeses. They don't have pasteurization issues over there. So their cheese can be a lot funkier. And there is something called the Mondial du Fromage. Basically, it's the Cheese Olympics. The Mondial du Fromage are the Paris Cheese Olympics. The Cheesemonger Olympics. It happens every other year in France, where the world's foremost cheesemakers gather in head-to-head competition. They exchange knowledge. It is the fromage convention of the year. Chick from Philadelphia won this year. A chick from Philadelphia brings home gold for America. United States sent Amelia D'Embero to the Cheesemonger. She is from the Philly Cheese School. I don't know if that's affiliated with Philadelphia cream cheese. I don't know, but it's the Philly cream cheese, the Philly Cheese School. And another woman named Courtney Johnson, by the way, from Seattle's Street Cheese, she took home the bronze. So we got a bronze medalist in the Mondial de Fromage. We got a gold medalist from Philadelphia. Wouldn't it be incredible if she showed up with a can of Cheese Whiz from, like, you know, Pat's or Gino's, and she's like, yeah, here's my cheese from Philadelphia. By the way, just so you know, that the cheesesteak wit does not mean with cheese. With means with onions. A cheesesteak, by definition, comes with cheese. The with is about the onions. Anyway, it's a good day for American cheesemongering. Amelia goes over. Night, night. Let me show you what cheese is all about. There you go. I know that this crowd, I know that my regulars here care enough about food and cheese to care about that story. Cheese this France, Joseph. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's incredible. It happened. Cheese, glorious cheese. I remember those commercials. I remember the pro cheese Saturday morning cartoons. Was the guy with the wagon wheel? A happy, happy hunk of cheese. We love cheese. I love cheese. So there you go. She hit him with a nuit nuit, comes home with cheese gold. And that will probably be part of a day in history at some point in time, but it's not part of today's, but it is time for today's day in history. We always begin with happy birthdays. Happy birthday, Fran Drescher. Wasn't she the nanny or something like? Fran Drescher was, she got passed around like a groupie in the 70s, but Fran was pretty cool, man. Fran, I like Fran Drescher. She's always been kind of funny, kind of cool. 68 years old today, Fran Drescher, go get him. She's in Spinal Tap, so that's why I think I like Fran Drescher. I don't know if you want to call it a cameo, but his turn in Pulp Fiction was unforgettable. Eric Stoltz has been in a number of movies. I mean, Mask with Cher. That's Eric Stoltz underneath all of that makeup. Didn't work out for Eric for Back to the Future. He got replaced by Michael J. Fox. But Eric Stoltz today turned 64 years old. Happy 55th birthday to Tony Hale. Tony Hale played the bagman to Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Veep. He was hysterical in that role. Jenna Elfman. Remember when Jenna Elfman was on a lot of TV shows and in a few movies, and then we never heard from her again? Happy birthday, Jenna Elfman, 54 years old. She was in that movie about Ed TV, right? With was that Matthew McConaughey or who was that? Matthew McConaughey running around San Francisco with his life being a reality TV show. Happy 43rd birthday to Kieran Culkin. Who would have ever thought he would be the most famous Culkin he is now? Happy 43rd birthday to Lacey Chabert. She was the cute young girl in Party of Five, and she was the original voice of Meg in The Family Guy. She said, "I don't think this is very funny. I'm leaving this show." They bring in Mila Kunis, and that was a big mistake by Lacey Chabert. Happy 41st birthday to T-Pain. T-Pain, he's your, what do they call that? The tunes, they mix the auto tune. He is the Picasso of auto tune, the Da Vinci of auto tune. T-Pain, happy birthday. And happy 28th birthday to F1 driver Max Verstappen. And honestly, the only reason why I know about Max Verstappen is because Kalena Azubuki would talk about him an awful lot in Warriors games when they had time to kill in a blowout. So there you go. There's your birthdays today. Happy birthday all the way back in 1452 to the Gutenberg Bible, which was published today. It's like the first big printing press project ever, the Gutenberg Bible. These are big deals. They have a Gutenberg Bible at the Lilly Library at Indiana University, and that thing is protected like it's gold at Fort Knox. He began his spree a few weeks ago, and we had that in Today in History a few weeks ago. Well, Jack the Ripper continued being his naughty self. Today in 1888, he killed two women. Liz Stride and Kate Indoes were victims of Jack the Ripper today in 1888. Today in 1911, the very first movie stuntman was hired. It was for a shoot called The Military Scout, and they needed a stuntman, so today, the day that stuntmen were born. Today in 1927, Babe Ruth became the first player to hit 60 home runs in a single season, and that record stood until Roger Maris hit 61 in 1961. But Babe Ruth today in 1927 hit home run number 60. Today in 1947, the first World Series game was watched by an estimated 3.9 million people. It was television's first mass audience event, the World Series in 1947. Today, nearly 4 million people watched. I'm sure that was most of the TV market back in 47. I wonder how many of these World Series games will draw 4 million. Seriously, I wonder what these games will look. Imagine if we have a World Series that is, I don't know, Brewers-Padres. What if it's Brewers-Mariners? What if that's the World Series, Brewers-Mariners? Do you think 5 million people show up to watch game one of a Brewers-Mariners World Series? I can tell you what the Major League Baseball's home office is rooting for: Cubs something, Yankees something, Dodgers something. Brewers-Mariners? That would be like a ratings death kiss right on the forehead of Major League Baseball. But by the way, I'm all for it. Give me Brewers-Mariners. I'm in. Today in 1955, James Dean died. died in an automobile crash as he drove a car to a rally in Salinas, California. The only thing I know about Salinas, California is Gary Radnich used to have a drop that said, "Goodbye, Salinas." And that's it. Salinas, very nice place. Yeah, James Dean, forever young because he died today in that car crash. Today in 1960, the Flintstones debuted on ABC in primetime. Today in 1965, the Thunderbirds premiered in the UK. The Thunderbirds were that weird kind of puppet marionette TV show that America Team World Police sort of like was a takeoff on. I remember the Thunderbirds being one of the weirdest things that I would see on my TV as a kid, so I watched it. It was weird. The Thunderbirds were weird. Kind of cool, kind of weird. So that happened today in 1965. Today in 1975, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, The Thrilla in Manila, was sent via satellite to the United States. It was shown on HBO. A huge moment for satellite TV right there in 1975, The Thrilla in Manila. Today in 1982, Cheers debuted on NBC. Norm! Today in 1984, Murder, She Wrote debuted on CBS. Jessica Fletcher! Today in 1985, MacGyver debuted on ABC. MacGyver! What was MacGyver's first name? I don't know. I can't remember. But either way, MacGyver. I mean, do we need to defuse a bomb with a paperclip and a rubber band? He's your guy. Today in 1997, Microsoft released Internet Explorer 4, which I'm still is... pretty sure is the operating system that most Bay Area radio stations are running because they got no budget for anything. Again, 95.7 The Game wasn't even doing shows from Warriors Media Day. You want to talk about a station I can't even recognize. That would have been unthinkable when I was there. Holy mackerel. So there you go. That's what we have for you today. Thank you for being here. A quick turnaround for Thursday night football, so be ready for it. We're all going to have a little happy hour coming up on Thursday and get you ready for the live stream. We will have more of a preview coming up on Wednesday's Damon Bruce Plus at 11 a.m. West Coast time. One more time, let me just say thank you to Ikes. Thank you to the Dubliner West Portal. And I hope you can join us October 4th, this Saturday at 4:20 at the Dubliner West Portal. If you're here in the Bay Area, please come on through. It would be great to finally meet you. So many of our regulars are going to be here. Can't wait to see them. Look at this. Great movie, Bottle Shock, on that wine story. Hold on. Postman. Oh, yo, yo, Postman, I hope you can make it up to the Dubliner. I really do. But is that what Bottle Shock is about? Is that when the doors open to Napa like never before? Very cool. Very, very cool. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for supporting the channel. And the only thing I can ask you is hit like, subscribe, tell a friend about this if you enjoyed it. Your word of mouth advertising is better than any advertising I could ever pay for or ask for. You telling a friend, a neighbor, an enemy about Damon Bruce Plus goes a long way to making this thing grow. Thank you so very much for watching today. It is an honor to have you here. And the only thing I need to do now is let you know that the show is over, which means sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.